Welcome to yet another edition of Hit the Target podcast, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Jesse Nagel, next to my fellow two wise men. Of course, I'm talking about Banile Pikwa and Pro Pilani, back for the second consecutive week and second successive week. Of course, last week was a success. We obviously had our debates about Kaitano Tembo sacking, and the debate sort of continued into Stuart Baxter, who's now gone. Gentlemen, I'll let you guys unpack this one for us first. Banile?
If I was a commentator, I would have said it's a commentator's curse. That's the first thing I'll say. But yeah, greetings to, to the listeners at home. Greetings to you and greetings to Pro Pilani. It's always amazing to be on this podcast. I know last week I said, I mean, there's no reason to circle back. Still finish the season. Not even 7 days and he was gone.
Greetings. Thanks for welcoming me. I'm shocked, to be honest. I'm shocked.
So we spoke about this project last week. We mentioned about the points tally and what he's done and the brand of football that he's instilled. And yes, it's not always pleasing. I remember we had our disagreements with Banile as well. It's not always pleasing, but he gets the job done. Banile mentioned a defensive record last week.
The saddest thing that a lot of people fail to acknowledge is the fact that you can't disrespect the fans and win. Yeah. I think Coach Stuart Baxter fell into the trap. He disrespected the fans of Kaizer Chiefs, and he thought he would win this one because he knew that he's got the support of the management, hence he felt that he can say anything about the fans. But little did he know that Kaizer Chiefs fans are everything to the Motaung family. And I think his dismissal is solely based on that. He disrespected the fans, and it was easy for them to pull the trigger.
Banile, I can't wait for the next Twitter space.
No. Yeah, I think Pro is right. I mean, the comments that Baxter said, he said when he was asked what message does he have to the fans, and he was like, I have no message to the fans. If they want me to go, I'll go. You know, you can't say such things. And to fans are important, not only to Kaizer Motaung, but to everyone. I mean, look at Sundowns now. They've done everything. They're winning trophies. Look at their campaigns now. You can see what they're trying to secure now is the fans, like the free tickets and all of that, giving them
inviting
that,
fans to training,
inviting fans to training, to training. So what they're trying to do now,
togetherness,
is win fans and gain more fans going forward, because fans are an important part of the team. Chiefs already have that, but they lacking trophies and all of that. So it's a little bit of what you have, I want. What I don't have, you want. So it's a case like that.
And don't be surprised to see the next coach being a fan's choice.
Yeah, you know, mentioning that with fans is that during COVID and during lockdown, because the fans were away for so long, I feel like a lot of people lost their love for the game and a lot of people lost their love for certain clubs. And maybe it's true, maybe I'm just pulling this out of somewhere, but I feel like now Kaizer Chiefs are sort of abiding to what the fans want. And this is, you know, they've had their chance to sort of run the club and how they want to see it. And it hasn't been successful because Kaizer Chiefs haven't won any trophies. But let's see what the fans have to say. They wanted Stuart Baxter gone. Like you mentioned, it could be the fans' choice next. Exciting times.
But, Pro, is it fair if I say Gavin Hunt was a fan's choice?
He was. He was the fan's choice. But with Gavin, it was different.
The team
had a transfer ban. I don't think that the fans wanted Gavin gone, because they understood the situation they were in. But the biggest problem was that Gavin kept on playing the same players, and he kept on complaining about the very same players. Hence, the fans were confused to what exactly is the problem. Is Gavin the problem or the players the problem? But after Gavin left, fans started realizing, no, man, you can fire as many coaches as you want, but it's still the same players that are there. So if you are noticing this season, they are complaining about the players.
Yeah,
except for exceptional cases where Stuart has been trying to attract attention and take attention away from the players. But from the first game of the season, the fans were after certain players, and each time those players were playing, and you can hear whether they win, draw, or lose, those players will still get a stick.
I don't want to disagree with Pro, but to a certain extent, Chiefs at the start of the season, they signed their Dube, Ngobo, Alexander, Nange, Dolly. Those are players who had success elsewhere, had success abroad. They were coming into a team that had finished second, and now to just sort of bring that continuity to the game of football that you saw that even Sundowns strengthened when they win the league. They don't just keep
the same
players.
They were to a team that finished eighth.
They had finished second that season, but I get Jesse's point.
Not too long ago, they were Champions
players.
League runners up.
It's the same players. But yeah, I mean, what Pro is saying here, Jesse, is 17 of the current Kaizer Chiefs players have been coached by Usulinas, have been coached by Gavin Hunt, Middendorp, and Stuart Baxter.
Even Compella.
You know, yes, 17 of them.
Was Baxter not there in Baxter? Was
some were there even during the first
game.
Matoho was there as well. It was four last season with Ukatsand. So what has happened now since like Usulinas, let's take it from the Usulinas season, 17 players were there coached by Usulinas. What happened? They finished eighth. They finished outside the top four. Bottled the MTN 8 against TS Galaxy. Bottled the league against Ibaraka. You know, so there's been a lot of disappointments. And it's not only coaches. So there has to be a pattern. We understand why the fans were after certain players because they know. I mean, if you've lost a gift like Kupitso Mosimane once called it a TS Galaxy in the final. If you've lost that and then you go on losing a must win, I'll say final, a league final against Ibaraka. So if you're losing such games, then for me it tells me what you are not good enough.
You personally, Panile Piko, or blaming players?
I think
in this case.
I think we've seen a lot of change of coaches. So if the next coach comes, let's say an Atazwane comes and they say no need for an overhaul because
there's quality.
The coach must assess the players, then he will suffer the same problem, Yaga Gavin Hunt, the same problem, Yaga Stuart Baxter, and all the other coaches that have been sacked recently.
This current crop of players is not good enough. The words of Panele.
To a certain extent, I agree with him. I think that Kaizer Chiefs team needs plus or minus 10 new players. Not just new players, but international standard players. I think they need quality players. I think they need to go to Golden Arrows, get two or three players. I think they need to go to Royal AM, get a striker that they want. I think they need to go to Baroka.
Who's like maybe that internationally standard player?
Well, at Arrows, there is a CBC there. Very rock solid. I think he can...
International too, yeah.
Yeah, I think he can get a job done.
I'm just throwing names.
Not Mutiso per se, but I'll go for Sibia.
Yeah.
I think Sibia is a good... It can be a good addition at Kaizer Chiefs. Not a starter, but he can be something off the bench. Because I don't think that he can bench Kamapilias, but I think he can... He can offer something coming off the bench to assist those players.
And it does make sense because, okay, fair enough, that Peter Shalulile was an international player and Mutobi Mvale obviously coming from Highlands Park, but those players strengthened Sundowns to a different level. And now Shalulile, we spoke about last week, who could break records. Sometimes you need those players who are just knocking on the door to step up to a big team.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been the case with so many players too. Even Keegan Dolly when he was at Ajax, when he went to Sundowns or Billiard. So sometimes you don't need to always get a Dolly from overseas, you know. So yeah, I get the point, and we all in agreement.
Pro, you mentioned Royal AM. Of course, this week has been massive for them. Tell us why.
I think what Royal AM wanted to achieve is so unfortunate that they cannot be declared as the champions of the Clear Africa Championship for 2020-2021 season. We know that on the field they won the league, but that case that involved Sekhukhune United versus Polokwane City, where Sekhukhune were awarded 3 points when Sekhukhune failed. When Polokwane City failed to honor a fixture because of players that had COVID and they did not have enough or sufficient under players under the age of 23. So they were awarded the 3 points, and that 3 points made a difference in that log table. So Royal AM took the matter to CAS. As an interested party, remember they did not lodge a protest. It was lodged by Polokwane City and others. So Royal AM, as a party with interest, they took the matter to CAS, and the CAS dismissed the matter. They felt that the rules or the SAFA statute are enough to rule on the matter, and they felt that whatever was taken at whatever ruling that was taken at arbitration was enough. So there's no need. Had Royal AM won that matter, it would have meant that that the whole 2021-2022 season will be declared null and void. So it is going to be a problem. It's going to be a catastrophe for South African football. So to a certain extent, I'm happy that it did not go that route, but I feel disappointed that the Royal AM missed out on the opportunity to be declared NFT champions, because I think they did very well in that season.
But bro, one listener at home is sitting and asking him or herself, why would Royal AM want to do all of that, knowing very well the repercussions that it will jeopardize the whole league, everything is null and void. Looking at their log position, they're already in the PSL. It would have been understandable if they were not in the PSL. They're in the PSL, and they're on the verge of making history by qualifying for UCAF Champions League, which is unheard of for a team in their first season. So why would they want all of that to be null and void?
You are giving us a very good question, Banele, and I know that our bosses are listening to this this podcast, and they are going to knock at Royal AM's doors and ask for the CEO of the club or the chairman or the club president to come and join us here in our studio and have a conversation with us and give us those answers, because we want those answers. What were they going to gain had the league been declared null and void? So let's put it out there and say to our bosses, get us Royal AM. We want them here.
Really, they need to come and explain. Because, I mean, it's interesting. For me, looking at it, sitting at home, I'm looking at a team that's on the verge of making history, qualifying for CAF Champions League, and they're still going on a case that can mean that whole historic season is null and void, because they're already in the PSL.
Yeah, I suppose there's your invite. if you're out there listening.
Yeah, even our producers here listening, maybe they'll try and contact one of the Royal AM. We've had Royal AM before.
Selwyn George was there.
So we've got a good relationship with them. So maybe our producers can speak to them and try and organize something.
Let's hope it stays intact. Probably let's talk Champions League football, of course. To paint some visuals, you are in studio wearing a Mazulu jersey. It's the wrong shade of green, or is there some yellow there? I'm not too sure, but hasn't been a good week for you, has it?
I think I'll quote Coach Rolani when he said Jurgen Klopp said to him, you must lose the right matches. I think Sundowns lost the right match, because the match does not take them out of the competition yet. I know that if I were to quote Coach Peter again, there's always a goal at Atresville. I think there's a goal at FNB. I think Sundowns will win this match convincingly. I see about two or three goals for Sundowns, and I think Sundowns will progress to the semi-finals, because when you look at the environment and the entire culture of that Sundowns team, I understand they wanted to dominate the match in Angola, but the climate and all those kind of things took control of them as the game progressed, and you could see that the Petro Atletico players gained confidence, hence they managed to capitalize on the Sundowns defense mistakes and get those two goals. But going forward on Saturday, I don't see Petro Atletico surviving FNB. If Kaizer Chiefs can't survive Sundowns at FNB, what is Petro Atletico?
I thought you were going to say if Baxter can't survive, but we've
gone. Chiefs can't survive anyone at FNB. I mean, they haven't scored in the last four games.
But Banele, I agree with Prod. It's so hard to disagree. Sundowns easily, for me, one of the best teams on the African continent. What they're going to do to Petro de Luanda is smash them to pieces. I can't see anything other than that happening this weekend. It's a case of how many for Sundowns. It's just them putting themselves in an awkward position now to chase the game from the start and not being able to manage any sort of minutes. It's go there to win.
Yeah, look, I mean, we must be very careful. Sundowns mustn't be emotional going into the game and expecting a bloodbath. Technically, yes, it should. On paper, it should be a bloodbath. It should be a 3-0, 4-0 kind of game. But if they come with that emotional approach that, okay, Sizobadla, we're going to thrash them, and the worst happens where Petro Luanda scores first, you know, and then they park the bus. Hey, it's going to be difficult, and we must also look at that and see the teams in the players in the Petro Luanda team. As much as they're Angolans, I mean, they've got like four Brazilians in them, you know. Yes, it's not your Ronaldinho's or whatever, but
or Vinicius Junior.
Yeah,
but you know, Diogo Jota.
But we know Brazilians are always well developed when it comes to football, and the fact that they you know, they can pull something out, you know. So
maybe those are the ones Sundance for scouting.
So yeah, we must respect Pedro Luanda. I hope Sundance approaches this game in a good way. It's good to be confident, like who Coach Rolani said. We pro has quoted him. I mean, even Coach Pete always says the CAF Champions League starts in the group stages, so it's very after the group stages rather. So it's very important to approach these games rather. And I'll keep making reference to Chiefs. They were undermined last season. They were a joke. Everybody expected them to get a hiding in all the matches they played up until they got one in the final, where nobody expected that. So it's very important not to come with that emotional approach. At the end of the day, these are champions. These are log leaders in Angola. There's a reason they're there. So they must be approached with respect. Then there'll be a bloodbath.
But they've never won a game outside of Angola. So all the matches that they've won them in Angola.
And now they're going to one of the toughest grounds.
And they don't need to win a game, you know. And we look at them, they went to Zamalek and they drew, which is not something that is easy for anyone, you know, going to the likes of Zamalek and drawing. So the fact that they can draw at Zamalek, they don't need to win this game. A draw is enough for them.
Coach Mangoba, Coach Rodani, Coach Steve Compelli, if you're out there listening, I'm sorry for this, but it's a commentator's curse or a podcast curse that we've gone through. Caetano Temba, of course, a few weeks ago last week we discussed Stuart Baxter, Banele, if they fail to make it past the stage of the CAF Champions League, what happens to those coaches?
It's out there already. It's not me saying I'm not in a position of saying what. I'm not in a position of saying this one must be sacked. But if you've been following social media, you know, on Velase there and all the Sundown supporters, they've been very vocal that if you don't win the CAF Champions League, others are saying if you don't make it to the final, you know.
Which the demands are high.
The demands are high now from the Sundown supporters. So the demands are there. I don't know what management will say, but I think they'll beat Pedro Luanda, so no need to worry about
that. That's not the question.
That's not the question.
The question is if they fail
I've
to progress.
The question. I'm saying it's
what do you do? Well, you told us what Sundance fans on social media.
Yeah, he's telling us about all the people that he's been reading.
Well, it's not always an easy case to like
tell
just
us what you read.
It's not always an easy case to just look and say we're in a hamba, you know. But I mean, from what they've achieved and what they've done, there's a lot to consider.
You know what, Troy? In fact, I'll say the start of the year, because this is when coaches sort of come under pressure. Banele, he was fed up with Coach Caetano Tembo. With Coach Stuart Baxter, he held on for so long, and I feel like he's doing the same with Sundance fans, with Sundance coaches.
I think Banele's problem is that he loves what is happening at Sundance. And the loss in Angola now has put him in a very awkward position. And Banele is a fan of what is happening at Sundowns. He loves watching Sundowns. He enjoys what Sundowns is doing.
He's going to be wearing that jersey soon, actually.
Yeah, and now he's in a compromised position because he doesn't want to say, yes, the coaches must be fired, because it will sound biased in a way. Because he's
but
got this hidden
tweet.
Love. But watch him tweet. Watch the things that he retweets. You can see that this man knows. But to answer your question, Natchez, it's a difficult one to say they must go, because to be honest with you, they've done exceptional. And what I can say is that get to the final, lose the final on penalties, then it will be acceptable. If you fail to get to the final, then it's unacceptable.
But I can tell you now, they weren't brought in to make Sundowns stable in the league, because they were always that. They brought them to make them an African powerhouse and, you know, win the Champions League again.
Exactly. To be a powerhouse in African football, you win the Champions League and, okay, fine, you dominate matches home and away, but you get to the Champions League final and you win that final. If it happens that you lose the final, don't lose it 3-0 like the other team. Get to the final, lose on penalties, then I'll understand.
If it's a red card and you lose 3-0, we can't understand.
not unless if it's a coach that tries to hijack the glory and it tries to steal it.
Gentlemen, we've got just enough time for Simba and, of course, Orlando Pirates massive game.
Simba, there's no Bennett Morrison, and I was disappointed with the list of Sarko, Banella's favorite player, and I don't see Simba coming out at Orlando alive. I think Orlando Pirates will kill this game in the first half. Unfortunately, there won't be Dion Hoto, whom I think has been Pirates' pillar of strength this season.
And if they've had one.
but I think Paris will progress to the semi-final without any shade of doubt.
Oh, it's bold.
Yeah, I think one of the Simba officials were listening to the podcast, because I mean there were a lot of talks about Joash Onyango here, whether him linked with the Pirates, and he was on the bench, surprisingly. He didn't play, you know. But yeah, looking at the game, I think Simba, they were anti-Pirates. They approached the game, but both of them, nobody wanted to you know, like, I don't know, like, how to put it, but nobody wanted to attack first and go first. They were both very, very cautious, and I don't think the Pirates will come with that cautious approach in this game. So, yeah, and we know it's Simba. I mean, every time they play away, they always lose, you know, regardless, be it Chiefs, be it whatever, they always lose away. So defensively, they're not sound. They don't know
how. They're bad travelers.
They're bad travelers. They don't know how to park the bus. So I'm in agreement with Upro here. I think Pirates will, as much as I don't want to see it.
Finally in agreement.
As much as I don't want to see it, I think Pirates will progress.
Nah, but sometimes Banele, fans aside and their rivalries aside, I don't think that Simba has got enough quality to trouble Orlando Pirates.
Yeah.
I don't even think that Pirates deserve to lose that match, to be honest with you.
When you make them CAF favorites, Confederations Cup favorites.
Yeah, definitely. I think Pirates went to Tanzania with the wrong mentality to play on the counter attack. There was no need to sit back and play on the counter. That game was there for them to play.
He's just been called favorite.
No, the reason they came with that pro is because when you look at Simba's record, I mean, against your ASEC Mimosa, they were scoring 3. Against UCM, they scored 4. So at home, they are a team that score a lot of goals. Against Chiefs, they scored 3. And the fact that they had 50,000 supporters, and the Pirates haven't had that in a while, so it's understandable why they approached it with a more cautious approach. However, after 30 or so minutes, you then realize, no, I better call a band, man. Let's just go.
Banele, this is a Paris that believes they're on the same level as Sundowns.
No,
so
never mind that.
I think the Pirates believe that they're on the same level as.
But look at the Sundowns team that went to Al Ahly. Went to Al Ahly, they came back with a victory.
No,
so and Orlando Pirates that believes they're on that very same level, they should go to Tanzania and come back with a
draw. No, I think the approach for me was fair, bro. I mean, if it wasn't for the dodgy penalty, it would have been 0-0. Come here, all you need to do is win your game. I think even now 1-0 can be overturned.
Well, remains to be seen.
1-0, yes, will be overturned, but I still don't agree with the way they approach the match.
Remains to be seen, gentlemen, as always. Banele, you wanted to say something?
Yes, I took a bet. I think it was... Actually, this is the last time I'm taking bets. I'm
I told you, Pro, he's wearing the jersey.
No more bets, no more bets. Even the jersey bet now. If I can reverse, I'm reversing. No more bets, I'm taking...
But you will honor the ones you've... That's all.
Yes, I took a bet saying Stuart Baxter will not be sacked this season. I took it, I think it was in September. We signed a contract, put it down. Guess how much I'm losing?
1,000 rand
I'm losing. Because Chiefs sacked Baxter. They could have waited and sacked him at the end of the season.
Look, Chiefs needs to sell merchandise. Chiefs need to get the business going. So Stuart Baxter was affecting the business big time. So I think I'm sorry about your 1,000 rand, but if you continue to place these bets, you are going to lose a lot of money.
I'm no more taking bets, sir. That was the last bet I'm taking.
No, but you still have the jersey one. Yeah. So you have to honor this one.
Yeah, honor the jersey one, just to remind our audience.
Well, because you don't have a jersey, so.
No, there's a jersey.
Don't worry. We'll organize something for you.
Just to remind our audience, the bets were Sundowns to finish first, Royal AM Chiefs second, Royal AM third, Orlando Pirates fourth. If Cape Town City, I remember Cape Town City putting them in that mix. If they finish in the top four, you're obviously wearing a jersey. And in fact, you did say in that order. Yeah. So we'll see, Banele. We'll see Sundowana. Hey, I'm joined by 2 Sundowanas today. Gentlemen, as always, such a pleasure, and I look forward to next week.
Sharp.
Thank you, Sebo.